Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Zayin. Let us remember where we're holding. We've gotten into an interesting, what appears to be more of a philosophical question about how we can paskin l'chumra in two different directions, to man diomrim. But let's just remember what the case. We had two separate machlokas. One was a machlokas of what the din would be on the 90-degree mavui that went around the corner, basically, from one Rishus Rabim into another Rishus Rabim, and it was mefulash on both ends, and it was less than 10 amas wide. Okay, so according to Rav, that was considered to be a mavui mefulash. That was a machlokas between Rashi and other Rishonim about, and if it is a mavui mefulash, what do you have to do? So basically, either it's considered to be one mavui mefulash, which is the way that many Rishonim learn, or the way Rashi learns, it's considered to be two mavoi mefulash, and you need to have one thing in the middle, which is, of course, your Tzuras HaPesach, which we'll talk about in a moment, and on the other two sides, you would need a lechi or a korah. But in any event, the important thing was that we had a different machlokas, which is unrelated. The other machlokas is, what is it exactly, if you do have a mavoi that is mefulash, between Rishus HaRabims, we had this big machlokas between Hananya on the one hand, who brought a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about whether you need two doors, one on either side, and they need to be closed immediately every time you go in and out, or whether we go like Beit Hillel. And according to Beit Hillel, you only need one set of doors, or one big door on one side, and on the other side, you can get away just with the lechi or the korah. Then we had the other shita of the Tanakama, and the Tanakama said you can get away with the Tzuras HaPesach. You don't need an actual door. Use the Tzuras HaPesach on one side, and the other side you can use a lechi or korah. Now, in that machlokas, Rav and Shmuel had argued about whom to paskin according to. So according to Rav, we paskin like the Tanakama, and according to Shmuel, we paskined like the Hananya, and obviously that would mean Hananya like Beit Hillel, that you need one door, and on the other side, you're able to use your lechi v'korah. Now, the problem is that in a particular case in Narada, they paskin what it seems to be like both Rav and Shmuel. In other words, first they decided, well, we're going to paskin like Rav. It's considered to be a mavui mefulash. Okay, what do we do with a mavui mefulash? Doesn't Rav say a mavui mefulash, you can go according to the Tanakama and just make it Tzurat HaPetach? Well, Rav does, but Shmuel doesn't. Shmuel says you have to go like Hananya and use an actual door. Yeah, but Shmuel holds it's not even a mavui mefulash. So what's the problem? But in that we'll go like Rav. So that's what we were up to yesterday when the Gemara was saying that it appears to be stupid to do something like that, because the Pasuk says that the idea of aksil b'choshech holech is somebody who would paskin like the chumras of both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And that's exactly what you're doing here. It's the same idea. You're paskin like the chumras of both Rav and Shmuel. But according to no one would this thing actually require a door. So why in the world are you saying we need to have the door? That was the question that we had discussed yesterday. And before we got to a resolution, we noted that the actual braita that brings this concept, that if you choose to do the kulas of both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, then you're a rasha, and if you choose the chumras of both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, then you're an idiot. So we said, okay, but that braita begins with the statement that the halacha is always like Beit Hillel, but if you want to do like Beit Shammai, you can. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara said, okay, we have a couple of possibilities about how to deal with that. I mean, that doesn't affect our problem here, because you're still an idiot, but it does. We need to understand why there's not a contradiction. So we said, okay, maybe it's not a contradiction because it's referring to different periods, because there was a time in which you would be able to do whatever you want. If you want to paskin like Beit Shammai, there's no problem in that. That was before the Bat Kol came out. But then a Bat Kol came out that says that the halacha is always like Beit Hillel. So then we have paskin like Beit Hillel, and that is not what the Braita was referring to after that time period. That was one possibility. Another possibility was that there are two shitas about how to deal with bat kols. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, we don't pay any attention to batkos because we say it's none of anybody's business about how we pasken, and we don't intend to listen to any batkos. So, okay, so the two parts of the braita would be the Chachomim and Rabbi Yoshua. And that brought us up to line 2 of Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, and let's take a look following on that. See, first of all, yet a third possibility as to the meaning of why the Braita is not self-contradictory, and then finally move on to seek a resolution of how in the world they paskin like idiots if they were paskining both like Rav and like Shmuel. So, continues the Gemara, the Ibaitim, a third possibility is Hachikama, that actually the Braita took for granted that nobody's going to be dumb enough to think that when I say the halacha is always like Beit Hillel, but you can do like Beit Shammai if you want, that that's supposed to be taken seriously. So the Braita understood that you would look at the rest of the Braita as a model, not as an actual description of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. As a Ibaidema Hachikama, that the Braita is simply telling you like this. Look, in this particular case, because we have that bat call, we don't have any choice. We got to listen to Beit Hillel, okay? But in other cases, where this kind of thing comes up often, where you've got two Tanoim or you've got two Amoraim, they're arguing. In this type of Machlokas, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Kula v'chumra. So then the general idea would be to make that a model of never doing like the Kula of both Shitot. So Lola Avikikuli Demar Avikikuli Demar, because that would be a Russia. And on the other hand, don't be stupid to do Kichur Midamar, the Kichur Midamar. You've got to make a psak. O Kikuli Demar Kichur Midavid, O Kikuli Demar Kichur Midavid. Just be consistent. That's all that it's asking you to do. Okay, fine. So that explains the Braita. But now what about the psak? I mean, the Braita definitely is saying not to paskin like the Chumras in two directions. So Mikomakom Kasha. Omrim Nachum Bar Yitzchak, no, there's no problem over here. It's true that Rav did paskin, that you could rely on the Tanakhama, and that you could actually make only a Tzuras HaPesach. But you know what? When it was that Rav said that, he said Beferish, don't do that Barabim. So don't paskin like that Barabim. It's halacha, but ain't Morin King. So when Ninardo, when they had that question of what to do, they actually were following Rav totally. Rav held it was a Mavi Mefulash, and Rav held that even though in private I would tell you on a personal level that you do not need a door, but over here they were paskening for the community, I don't want to make that a public tzak because people will end up being more makel. And because of that, they were machmer, not because they were going like Shmuel. So they were being consistent. Okay, that's all very nice, but not everybody agrees to that. Rav Adar Bar Ava quotes Rav as saying, that's the halacha, and that's the way we publicly maintain, and that there's no problem in needing a door. You can use it as a Pesach. So then what am I going to make in the memo? What are you going to say about that? Omer Rav Shizvi, you completely misunderstand the meaning of this idea, not to go like the chumrah of both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. I mean, why not? That doesn't mean that if you sometimes think this is the right halacha, you can't do that, and sometimes that's the right halacha, you can't do that. That would be silly. I mean, why do you have to be consistently l'chumra or consistently l'kula? No. What it means is that where you have a machlokas, where there are different implications about the shita, in some circumstances that shita will lead to a kula. In other circumstances, that shita will lead to a chumra. So then you'd be stupid in not making a psak that's consistent and say, well, in the point where it's supposed to be a chumra, there I'll go to chumra, but in the point that it's supposed to be lakula, there I'll ignore the psak and I'll take the opposite stance. That makes no sense. And here is the classic example that we've had many times. The din is that when it comes to tumat hamet, a bone the size of just a very small piece of bone, ka'adasha, would be enough to be mitame b'maga, but not ba'ohel. In order for a bone to be mitame ba'ohel, it would have to have very significant, we'll be talking about this in Ohelos, but where we've got a case would be a spine or a skull. So then over there it would be mitame ba'ohel, unless that skull is missing a piece. Okay. And how much is considered to be a missing in the skull or a missing in the spine, a missing bone, that will then reduce this bone to just be etzem kisaora, I meant kisaora, is it katasha, an etzem kisaora, and it will not be metame boho. That's machlokes, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel. So over there, Beit Shammai is very classic. Beit Shammai goes l'chumra. And Beit Shammai says, in the Mishnah that talks about hashidra v'agugelet shechasru, kama chisaron b'shidra, how much missing in the spine? Says Beit Shammai, two vertebrae. But if it's only missing one vertebrae, then it would still be metame. Whereas Beit Hillel says, even if it's only missing one vertebrae, it's also going to not be metame, okay? Be kula on the part of Beit Hillel. And what about in a skull? So, okay, Beit Shammai says, well, in order for it to not be metame in an ohel, it would have to actually have a hole the size made by a brain surgeon's drill. And otherwise, it's going to be metame. Beit Hillel says no, even a tiny amount, Kideshi Natel Menachai Veyamut, would take away the shear of Tumas Ohel. Now, the question is, okay, this is classic. Beit Shammai is L'chumra, Beit Hillel is L'kula. The problem is that this Machlokas has an application in a completely different area where it turns out that it has the opposite din. Because as Rav Yonam Shmuel pointed out, when it comes to whether this is also going to cause tarfus, okay? So then in that case, Beit Shammai would say, well, it won't be an animal that is a trefa unless it's missing two vertebrae. And according to Beit Hillel, it will be considered a trefa even if it's missing just one vertebrae that was damaged, right? So then that would be a reversal of the shitas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in terms of the chumra or the kula, but the logic would be exactly the same. First, define what is considered to be missing from a spine that would render it not tame, or that therefore would render it in a living animal to be not able to survive long term. There would be a trefa, right? This is the same issue, except that they reverse now. One b'kan benogea trefa, Beit Shammai would be mako because he says it's not going to be a trefa unless it's missing this whole big piece of the two vertebrae. So that's what it's talking about. So if you want to paskin in contradictory modes, and you're going to say, well, I'll go l'chumra when it comes to the mace, and I'll say it's still considered to be metame ba'ohel. But if a thing like this would happen to an animal, then I'm going to go l'chumra, and I'm going to go like Beit Shammai in that case, because I'm going to say that it's considered, I mean, to Beit Hillel in that case, I'm going to say that it's considered to be a trefa, even though it's only missing one, so then you're an idiot. Because, I mean, you have to make up your mind. You can't, either it is considered to be a missing piece or it's not considered to be a missing piece. You can't determine it's a missing piece because you want to be machmer or mako. That's what it's referring to. But in this case, there's no connection between these two machlokas. One is a machlokas about what constitutes a mavi mefulash and what constitutes a mavi satum. And the other is a machlokas is what is the din of being matir a mavi mefulash? Can you use it surat ha-petach? Or do you need a door, okay? What does one have to do with the other? Absolutely nothing. And because of that, the entire Braita had zero application to our case, and therefore the whole thing was an exercise in futility, although we did learn quite a bit from it. Anyway, so that I think, Echelo Satre Adari, certainly Avdina. Wait, it sounds reasonable, but is it true? That you can't do something that is contradictory in a case like that? What about the case, you know, a famous case, where Rabbi Akiva, he actually had harvested his etrog tree, and he needed to take off miser. And he took off two separate misers, which are contradictory, because it wasn't clear to him whether this is an esrog in its second year of Shemitah or in its third year of Shemitah. If it's an Esrog that was in its second year of Shemitah, then he had to take off Meiser Sheni. But if it was an Etrog in the third year of Shemitah, then he needed to take off Meiser Ani. And since it was the first day of Shvat, and there's a Machlok at Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, as to whether the first day of Shvat is considered to be the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, or whether the 15th day of Shvat is considered to be Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. So he went ahead and he took off two separate Maisers. Nag Shnei Isurin, obviously besides his Maiser Rishon, but he took off two separate Maisers as to the second Maiser. One was Maiser Sheni, and then one was Maiser Ani. One was going according to Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai says, since it's the first day of Shvat, which is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, this is a third year Etrog. And Echad Kedivrei Beit Hillel, according to which this was a second year Etrog, and therefore needed Maiser Sheni. So then that means he was doing both like Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. How do you explain that? I mean, Rabbi Akiva is not an idiot, is he? No, that's because Rabbi Akiva was not sure which Shita was which, because he had gotten confused as to whether Gemara is topically, he didn't know whether Beit Hillel was the one who had said, Echad Bishvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, or whether Beit Hillel was the one who said, Tu Bishvat, you become Isar Bishvat, Omar. And because of that, he went L'Chumra to account for the Shita of Beit Hillel, whatever it was. But obviously, he would not have pasked like Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, L'Chumra. He just didn't know what the Shita of Beit Hillel was. Anyway, can we get back now to our Machlokas? So now, we've got the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Hananya. In a case where you have a Mavoi that is Mifulash, do you need a door on one end and then another standard tikkun on the other end, which would be Beit Hillel Shita, according to Hananya? Or can you use a tsurat ha-petach instead of a door on that other end, which was the way that Ravid Paskin liked the Tanakama? So Yosef Rav Yosef Kamed Rav Huna, V'Yosef the Ka'amar. So Rav Yosef was sitting and saying over the following mimer of Rav. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. This machlokas that we just discussed between the Tanakama and Hananya, and the question of how we would be mater a mavoi mifulash, is only a mavoi that is mifulash in the extreme, meaning that on either end, it opens up into a true Reshut HaRabim. So you have a Sratya Mikan and a Sratya Mikan, or a Platya Mikan, or a Platya Mikan, or for that matter, a Sratya on one end and a Platya on the other. And you will remember back from Masechet Shabbat that the Sratya is a reference to a major highway. So that has to be at least the 16 Amos highway. And the Platya is talking about like this massive, the city square where you have all of the stores opening up, everybody comes around, which is also considered to be Rishus HaRabim. And there we do have a machlokas that according to Beit Hillel, Aliba the Rebbe Hananya, the halacha is that you would need an actual door. But let me tell you something. If it wasn't open on both ends fully to a real bona fide Rishus HaRabim, then let's say on one end it was open to a highway, but on the other end it was open to some fields, right? So it was open to a beak. It opened up into a valley. Or if you have a valley on either side, which we're going to ask in a moment, well, obviously, I mean, if a whole valley on only one side is enough to tell me it's not a true mavim or foolish, certainly if it's on either side, well, that's that in a moment. Why bother mentioning that? But in any event, over there, everybody agrees. Even though it's open on both ends, you certainly don't need a door. All you need to do is make a tzurat ha-petach, and even Hananya agrees to that. Then osu tzurat ha-petach mikan, and then you've got the lechi v'kora mikan, and nobody suggested that in that case, Beit Hillel was saying that you would need to have an actual door. Let's just remember the evolution of this whole thing, all right? We started off thinking that we were talking about, yesterday, thinking that we were talking about making what is colloquially known as an Erev in Rishus HaRabim. That's what we thought we were talking about. So, and that was the machlokas between the Tanakama and Hananya, and that means a little bit of Hananya bifurcates into Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, so we're only going to discuss the Beit Hillel part, right? Okay. Then we realized that no, actually, nobody holds that you can make any type of tikkun in a real Rishus HaRabim, to make an Erev in a real Rishus HaRabim. So the only case that we had that seemed to be like that, that was the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where he spoke about highway overpasses, where that if you're under a highway overpass, and there's a highway on the underpass as well, that in that case, the part that's underneath the overpass is not considered to be Rishus HaRabim. even though it's smack bang in the middle of a highway. And why is that? It's because, according to Rav Yehuda, a Rishus HaRavim, by definition, does not have two mechitzas. Even two mechitzas it can't have. Forget about the fact that it's open on either end. So the moment that that roadway, which is open on either side, the moment that that roadway is crossed over by another highway, and that bridge, now that overpass, has a wall on either side as you're walking along that highway, you're no longer in Rishus HaRavim for that 100 feet or whatever it is that the overpass is over you. Not only that, not only you're not in Rishus HaRavim, but according to Rav Yehuda, remember the very fact that there's the roof over the overpass means that you don't need to do anything else because that's just as good as a Koran, a Lechi, and so on, and that's fine. Just carry under there and make it your home. No problem. Despite the fact that the traffic's passing through and nothing seems to have changed, right? Okay, so that was because he holds that it isn't Rishus HaRabim. But again, technically speaking, nobody in the world ever suggested that there's a way to take a Rishus HaRabim diuraisa and create a mechitza that is one of the virtual mechitzas that the Rabbanan allow you to use, whether it's mitam mechitza or mitam ekeir, whatever is that for sure, that was not on anyone's agenda. And therefore, we had to revise that brayta. And we said, well, when the brayta is talking about Rishus HaRabim, it didn't mean how to be ma'ariv, a literal Rishus HaRabim. It meant if you've got a smaller road, which we're calling a mavui, but any small road that is not the size of Rishus HaRabim, it's less than 16 amas wide, and it joins up two large avenues on either side, that is considered to be the equivalent of a mavui mefulash. And that's what we're talking about. The machlokas is, how can we be mater a mavui mefulash? So there we went the full gamut. And we got, according to Chananya, we had Beit Shammai saying, oh my God, you have to have doors on either side, as if it's Rishus HaRabim. And not only that, every time you walk in and out, you got to make sure that the doors close behind you. So they have to be not just usable doors, they have to be doors that are constantly kept closed unless you're actually walking in and out. Whoa, that was a real chumra. Because remember, in the end, it turns out that those kind of doors would actually be matir, a real Rishus HaRabim. Why? The way they do in Yerushalayim, or the way they do in Mechuza, because those take away all sense of Rishus HaRabim by enclosing it in mechitzas. Doors are real mechitzas, and therefore, in the end, Beit Shammai is being so machmir that he would be treating, according to Chananya, he would be treating a mavoi mefulash between two Rishus HaRabims as if they were actually Rishus HaRabims. I also wanted to remind you about the Shita of Tosfos, which is that in the case that a mavoi joins two Rishus HaRabim as a bottleneck instead of as a perpendicular street, in that case, it's not a mavoi mefulash. It is Rishus HaRabim. So when you have a highway that breaks up into smaller roads and then comes back together again in a highway afterwards, the smaller roads that join the two pieces of the highway are all considered to be Rishus HaRabim, according to Tosfos. It's important to remember that we're talking about the direction that the traffic is moving also in terms of this moving Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so now today we wanted to clarify. When we're talking about a Mavi Mefulash, forget about the issues of the complex Mavi Mefulash where you have an elbow in the middle of a 90-degree bend and that kind of thing, whatever, those are Ramach Locus and Ravin Shmuel. But where you do have a Mavi Mefulash, and we're going to be Machmir, according to Rav, it's okay to use it Tzuras HaPesach. According to Shmuel, it's not okay to use it Tzuras HaPesach. You're going to have to go all the way like Beit Hillel, and at least one side's got to have a door, right? Then we had the question of the door, does the door have to be closed or not? It turned out we passed the door doesn't have to be closed, but it has to be closable. It has to be a movable door. That was what Rav Nachman ended up doing over there with those buried doors. Okay, I'm just trying to remind us of all of the various elements that we've been talking about until now. There's one additional element we didn't talk about, and that is how mefulash is mefulash. That is to say, mefulash to what? So if on one side it really is mefulash to a highway, but on the other side it's open up to an area that's not a real highway. So maybe it has a din of a carmelite or something. It's a type of bika. So in that case, then nobody is going to say you need an actual door. A tzuras HaPesach would be just fine. So the first obvious question we have on that is, Why would anybody bother telling me that if you have a bika on either side, that it's okay to use only a tzuras ha-pesach? I mean, obviously, if you have a bika on only one side, you're telling me it's not such a serious problem of being a movim mefulash. So if you've got a bika on either side, is it really important to tell me that it's enough to do a tzuras ha-pesach mekan and a movim and a koran alechi on the other? You're right. The Gemara says the meaning was, what Rav was saying was, if you have a sratya mikan and a bika mikan, then you might as well, for all intents and purposes, have a bika mikan and a bika mikan. Which we often find that type of phraseology. That when we use a second term, which is so obvious in comparison to a first term, we put in the words nase kemi. Nase kemi means, and for all intents and purposes, this is what you've got. So consider it to be the equivalent of that, and therefore, of course, only a tzuras ha-pesach is important. Now, anyway, let's get back to the story. So there was Rav Yosef, and he was sitting, and he was talking out what he had heard from Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, right? And then Rav Yosef says, and by the way, there was something else that Rav Yehuda said, and that was, now wait a minute, something else that Rav Yehuda said? Before you said Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, did you mean to say something else that Rav Yehuda said also from Rav, or did you forget in whose name he said it, or what? You don't know? Okay, that we're going to see. But he continued talking and said, another thing that Rev Yehuda said was that let's say, now this is a very fascinating question. The Mavui does not open up directly into a Rishus HaRabim. What this Mavui does is, at one end, it's a classical Mavui. It ends at the Rishus HaRabim. It's got the doors of the Chatzerot going all along the sides. Beautiful. No problem. The problem only is that on the back end of the Mavui, it opens up into somebody's backyard, a rechava, mi'achorei habatim. And that guy's backyard opens on the other end into Rishus HaRabim. So now the Mavui doesn't really open up into Rishus HaRabim because when you get to the end of the Mavui, all of a sudden the whole thing expands into a backyard. You see, you're not still in the Mavui. You're now in the guy's backyard and moves on to the right and the left. But you look ahead of you and, oh my gosh, look at that. I can cut through this guy's backyard into Rishus HaRabim. So what would be the din over there? So what Rav Yehuda said, says Rav Yosef, is that if it opens up into a backyard, which itself is open into Rishus HaRabim, you don't need to do a darn thing. You don't even have to do, you don't have to put even a lechi korah. Forget about it. Tzuras ha-pesach. The end that's in a rechava is, for all intents and purposes, a closed mavui. And it loses its din of being a mavui mefulash, and you just deal with it the way you would any mavui satum. Interesting. Okay, now, in order for us to understand well the Gemara that's coming up, we need to take a couple of things into consideration. One thing is a backyard the same thing as a front yard? I mean, there's got to be a reason why we spoke about the Mavui opening up into the backyard specifically and studiously avoided mentioning a chotzer, right? When all along, I mean, chotzer is like the whole point of where Mavui's end, right? So, that leads me to think about something, namely, that if a Mavui would open up into a chotzer on its back end, so then, I mean, basically you got another problem. That is that people from that chotzer are going to be going through the Mavui like everybody else, and then that would mean that they're going to aser the Mavui. Because, I mean, if it broke into their chotzer, then that would be a chotzer that never made an Eruv with the people in that Mavui because they didn't see that as being their real entrance. They had a different entrance, and this broke through in the middle of their front yard in their chotzer. Masha'inke, when it comes to a backyard, there's a very important distinction simply in the idea that backyards are not meant for diurin. Remember that front yards, the whole idea of a chotzer, is that chazal were metaken, that we need to take into consideration diurin. This is the place where people live. And because of that, relative to the house, it appears to be much more public space. That is not true about the area in back, because that area is not used as a common living area. People use it for storing things, putting things in the back that are messy and whatever, but they're not the same as the place where they would walk out of their houses and join their neighbors and sit around in the commons. It's not the commons. So even though, and this is an important point, it's not that somebody walking through a movoy from a different rishus creates the need for a shituf mevo'ot. It is not the case that when you have different people moving through a common rishus, that it automatically takes on this idea of the Rabbanan saying it's similar to Rishus HaRabim. Not so. It's not the public accessibility of a space that's important. It's the public usage, permanent usage, that is meant that way. And therefore, since every one of these chatzerot is going to have to go through that mavoi in order to get out to the street, that is their standard usage. Masha Ein Kein, when it comes to Rechava, sure, obviously there's going to be people sometimes that are going to go in the backyard and are going to walk out through the mavoi, but who cares? There's people from the street that will walk into the mavoi just to look around and take pictures of the doors because the doors were artistically made. I mean, that's irrelevant. That's just invasive things. And we're talking about the indigenous species over here. And that you do not have. Those are called diurin. And those you do not have when you're talking about a Rechava. So then that leads me to suspect that we've got a problem in terms of a chotzer, and that's why he specifically noted that it's a rechava. Then there's another issue. The other issue is, this is called, and it's going to become a very major point of contention as we go through the Masechet, if it's nira mibachutz v'shova mibifnim, which means that when you are in a particular space, you do not note that the space has come to an end until you get to the end. Because if the space it spreads, you do not see a particular end to that space. It's just that there's nothing there that defines it as a space anymore. When you're standing on the outside of that space, looking in, you see very clearly. I'm standing in my backyard, and I'm looking at this wall that's got a hole in it, which looks through a mavoi. Now, it's perfectly clear to me instantaneously that my yard and the mavoi are two completely different places, right? But when I'm sitting in the mavoi, and I'm looking down the mavoi towards the outside, it is absolutely not clear to me that the picture on that far end of the cars driving by, that that's not the end of the mavoi. It's only when I get there that, this isn't the mavoi anymore because the mavoi's walls are no longer here. So then that means that vis-a-vis the mavoi, there is no heker from inside, but vis-a-vis the rechava, or if it would be in a chotzer, there would be a heker. A question of how we deal with that type of thing in terms of its being a petach, or is it a pirtza? Taking all that into consideration, let us now move on, because Abaya has a very interesting reaction to Rav Yosef. And Abaya says to Rav Yosef, I can tell you something, man. You didn't want to say who said this. You said, you started saying that Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and then you said the whole business about it depends what's on either side. Okay, I got that part. Then you said, and Rav Yehuda also said, and you didn't say who said it. You just said Rav Yehuda didn't quote anybody. And that's when you said if it ends in Rechava, that is basically not in need of any further tikkun. So I want to explain something to you. You better make sure that you do not quote that as part of the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav statement, which was the beginning, because that is not according to Rav. It isn't true. This last thing that you said of Rav Yehuda, which you did not say how he knew it, actually only comes from Shmuel and does not come from Rav. Now, remember that Rav Yehuda was a Talmud both of Rav and of Shmuel. So it's very important for us to define who he was going according to. I'll tell you why I'm convinced it can't be Rav. Because if it were, and you would have made the mistake of saying that this is continuation of Rav, Rav would then be contradicting himself in two very important ways. Because look at the following psak from Rav, and you will see that I'm right, because we basically have the same case that Rav spoke about. A minor difference. A minor difference. We're going to soon see it's not a minor difference, but it looks like a minor difference at this point. The minor difference is that we're going to substitute for the word rechava a chatzer. So it's the same situation, a mavoi, actually a wall in the back of a mavoi collapses into a chatzer, which that other chatzer has its own mavoi on the other end and so on, right? Same thing over here, which was the rechava, except in this case, it now opens up into a different chatzer. The same thing. The whole mavoi has nothing on either side. When you're looking down the mavoi from the far end, it looks like it goes all the way through into Rosh Hashanah. You get to the end and you say, oh, this is not Rosh Hashanah. This is somebody's chutzner, right? So Rav said that in such a case, which I think it sounds to me the same thing, that it's a mavoi, shenifratz bimlo ola chutzner. The whole thing collapsed, the wall collapsed. And now it opens into a chutzner. And that chutzner has an opening into Rosh Hashanah on the other side, into Rishus HaRabim, that in that case, now this is when it says it's nifratz, it doesn't mean that it's a pure tzatz, it's using the word nifratz, but it's less than 10 amos. So the chotzer is a perfectly kosher enclosed chotzer. That's not a problem. And the halacha over there is that the chotzer is perfectly okay, because why not? The chotzer is completely enclosed, because even though you'll say, wait a minute, but what? The chutzner just got a big hole in the back. That doesn't matter, because there's a fascinating point here. One point is, wait a minute. Aren't the people in the mavoi going to sneak into the chutzner? And wouldn't that mean that this chutzner no longer you could carry in because of the fact that it has urine from the outside into it? Again, gentlemen, yeah, but who cares? They are not an indigenous species. The people that are going to sneak in from the mavoi into that chatzar don't belong there. And that is not their standard usage. And therefore, they certainly, a mavoi never assers on a chatzar. It's only a chatzar that assers on a mavoi, because the people in the chatzar are the people that come out through the mavoi, and therefore they will asser on other people utilizing the mavoi. But it does not work in the other direction, because people in the mavoi, you'll say, well, I mean, they could walk into a... Yeah, they could. So that can happen any time, but that's not called diurine. So therefore, vis-a-vis this chatzar, I don't care about the fact that the mavoi people are coming in, because that's not their area. They don't have rights to come in over there. And so because of that, these types of problems are irrelevant over here. As far as the wall to the chatzar is concerned, this chutzner is not completely open, because when I stand in the chutzner and I turn around and I see, oh my God, that whole wall fell down on that mavoi. I see on either side of that wall the continuation of the wall of my chutzner, right? So it's not porotz bimlo'o. And why is that going to aser on me any more than a less than 10 amas wide opening would aser me in Rishus HaRabim? It will not. This is called gifufe. Gifufe means it has marks on either side, which makes it a completely clear-cut, indicated, separate rishos. Okay. In that case, Rav says that the mavoi, nonetheless, is usher, and I have to do something to fix the mavoi. Now, that seems to be that Rav holds that the fact that a mavoi opens up into a different rishus does not take away its din of a mavoi mefulash. Because since I can look straight through this chutzner into the rishus harabim, because of that, it will be a mavoi mefulash. And Rav Shita about a mavoi mefulash is I'm going to have to put up a tzuras ha-pesach there, right? Okay. So then, if that's the case, can you explain to me why Rav says that it's usher? Why is it this exactly the same case that we just had? It's a mavoi that's opened up into a backyard. What's the difference if it's a front yard or a backyard? And Rav Yehuda said, you said, you quoted him, that that is not a problem at all. So then if that's the case, the only difference between them is that one is talking about the mavoi into a chatzer, and the other is talking about a mavoi into a rechava. So then, okay, what would be, therefore, the difference between them? It's clear that according to Rav Yehuda, if he specified a rechava, and this is what I think, if he specified a rechava, there's a reason why he specified a rechava. And you know what that reason is? He would have said that the very fact that a mavoi opens up into a chatzar means you can't carry in that mavoi anymore. Why? Because now you have new people who've broken into a mavoi. And because of that, they're going to answer it on them. So that would mean that we're basically arguing about two completely different issues. First of all, I mean, according to Rav, apparently the only problem is the problem of the case of the chotzer, not in the case of the rechava. So in other words, the Gemara now is taking for granted that according to Rav Yehuda, the reason that I didn't want to talk about the chotzer, and I specifically only wanted to talk about a rechava, has got to be the only reason you can think of. And that is, well, there's no diurim in a rechava. So for all intents and purposes, you might as well have an eruv with the people in the rechava. Mashenkin, if you break into a chotzer, then you do have the urine. If you do have the urine, then it's going to be also simply because of the fact that you do not have an eruv. That's the problem. Okay, so then if that would be the point, then we have a different machlokas as well between the Rashita of Rabbi Yehuda and the Shita the case that was brought by Rav Yehuda and the case that was brought with Rav. Because according to Rav, if the mavoi opens into a chatzar and it doesn't have an eruv, so first of all, Rav is saying that the din over there would be to be matir, we would be matir the tiltul in the chatzar, yes, and that would mean it's not considered to be open. The chatzar, on the other hand, that is open to the Rishus HaRabim on the other side, so the mavoi is a problem because the mavoi looks like it's open. So we've got, according to Rav, we've got a problem of two issues, which Rav Yehuda does not believe are problems at all. So it turns out that we mamish have a contradiction in two completely different issues because we're assuming that the nifritza over here of the chotzer on the other side is the problem, according to Rav. And he specified that because it's a mavoi mefulash. But Rav Yehuda said, I don't care about that. The fact is, it's not called a mavoi mefulash because it ends in this other backyard, which would be the same thing if it's in a front yard. The reason I don't want to talk about a front yard is because, well, a front yard would be a problem because you don't have an eruv. And Rav said, no, actually, the one thing you don't have to worry about is the question of whether it has an eruv or not. Because if that were the problem, then why would Rav have had to spoke about a case where the wall was open against the side of the mavoi, if anyway he's going to say you can never carry in that mavoi because it's broken into the chotzer, you see? So in Rav's specification of a chotzer that was completely parutz on the other side, Rav is telling you my problem is not the eruv. My problem is the fact that it's parutz on the other side. So that means, A, I consider parutz to be a mavoi mefulish, and B, I don't worry about eruvs in a chatzar where the people don't belong in that mavoi. And Rav Yehuda was saying exactly the opposite. I'm specifying the rechava because I don't want the eruv problem. Let's talk about a place that doesn't have the urine. If it would have been in a chatzar, it would have been another problem of needing an eruv. I don't want to get into that because that would have answered the mavoi. But on the other hand, where it's open and parutz on the other side, that doesn't bother me because the mavoi has terminated before it got up to Rosh Hashanah. That means that they are mirror images of each other. So don't try to tell me that when Rav Yehuda continued talking, he was continuing to talk Kalib to Rav. That's ridiculous. It's the exact opposite of Rav in every possible way. Okay? This clear? The two elements that we're going to look at is there a problem of diurim, which would require an eruv? According to Rav Yehuda, yes. Why do you think I'm talking about a backyard instead of a front yard? According to Rav, no. No problem with the urine. The other problem we have to worry about is the open wall that is facing the mavoi, considered to be the mavoi's open wall? Or since the mavoi ends in the chatzar or in the rechava, the mavoi is closed? No, forget it. Don't have to worry about that at all. There, Rav Yehuda says, yes, the mavoi is certainly closed. It's not mefulash. Rav says, no. It's considered to be open. So they're the exact opposite of each other. So when you say this over Rav Yosef, make sure that you're fully aware that it was not Rav's psak, okay? The Eder Rav, let's just see that inside. The Eder Rav, Kasha the Rav, Ader Rav. In two things, Petarte. First of all, Ba'omer of Yirmiyah Barav, Omer Rav. The case of the Momish and Nifrats Bimlo Ola Chatzer, Natu and Rechama. And then that Chatzer got another hole in the wall that was Kenegdo. The din is that the Chatzer is Muteris because the Bnei Mavoi don't Aser the people in the Chatzer, but the Mavoi is Aser. And according to you, this should be the exact same case as the Mavoi Shekola L'Rechava. Says Rav Yosef, look, man, I don't know. In all honesty, I have no idea. I know Rav Yehuda told, I'll tell you what happened. Ana lo yadana, I don't have the slightest idea who said this, okay? But I do know what happened over here. There was a maisa in this Dura de Reuta, this little village of shepherds. And the case was that there was a mavui that ended up in a guy's backyard, and they came and they asked Rav Yehuda what to do. And he said, you don't need to do a darn thing. Okay, now I can't pretend to have gotten to the bottom of all of this. I mean, if you're convinced, if you're convinced it can't work out according to Rav, I haven't worked it out. So then fine. So then let it be from Shmuel, okay? But there's nothing that I know that makes me believe that there's a problem over here. And velo kasha mine. I mean, I understand what the problem is. Okay, so you're telling me it's not Rav. Okay, maybe it isn't Rav. I don't know. But the truth is that actually you're wrong, the Gemara says. And it can work out perfectly well according to Rav because you did not take into consideration what we now know to be the case. And that is that actually Rav was taking into consideration the problem of the Eruv. And that is, Hashtag, the Amalei Rav Sheshes of Shmuel Bar Abba. We now have some very important new data. And it's like this. It was either Rav Sheshes or it was Rav Yosef. He sent it over to Rav Yosef. He sent it over to Shmuel Bar Abba. I'm not sure. To Rav Yosef Bar Abba. But what was said was like this. That I want to explain to you what Rav said. Az Berlacha. Rav Sheshes said, I'm going to explain to you what Rav said. This I know from Rav, not from my own idea. So that's what Az Berlacha means. That Kan She'irvu, the Kan She'lo Irvu. Rav didn't say that under any and all circumstances you're not allowed to carry in this mavoi because it's a mavoi mafulash. Rav said that it depends whether the mavoi had made an eruv with this new chutzer that it smashed into. That was the problem. So if they made an eruv, then Rav didn't view this as a mavoi mafulash. Adarabah, he was perfectly happy with it, exactly as Rav Yehuda said in the case of the Rechava. The only reason that the Rechava was straightforward is because there's no Erev to be made. And when you talk about the Rechava, for all intents and purposes, you're discussing a Chatzar with an Erev. That's why. And that's the difference. But if they had made an Erev, it would have been perfectly okay. So then if that's the case, you've got no problem to say that this was said by Rav. Because even de Rav ad Rav, Nami Lukasher, wouldn't have been any problem at all. The case was different. And therefore, Rav would have been matir, like in the case of the Rechava. The Rechava, for all intents and purposes, is Irvu b'nei chatzer b'nei mavoi. Because there are no b'nei chatzer. And kan shelo irvu. Mashenke, the other case, was a case that Rav was using to bring out the other problem. And not the issue of the fact that it was nifritza is the problem. And we're going to have to see why then. It's so important. Why did he mention the fact that it was Nifritza? He mentioned that it was Nifritza, not to tell me that the Mavoi was Usser because it was Nifritza. He mentioned it was Nifritza to tell me that the Chotzer was kosher even though it was Nifritza. That's the point. So you should know that now, don't you have a problem? Remember the new item that we took into consideration. Baki Barabim. If people, wait a second, a guy's going to be walking by. Whoo, hey, look at that. There's a hole in the wall of that mavoi. We can cut straight through the Fifth Avenue through there instead of waiting at the light. Let's go, baby. So there's going to be a bakeh bei rabim through the guy's chutzer into the mavoi. And you might think, okay, so that's going to answer the chutzer. That's the point that he's saying is. The chutzer is not affected by that. It's still a chutzer that has kosher doorways. that are not considered to be piritzos because they're less than 10 amos. And because of that, there is no din of baki bo rabim in this chatzar. That's what Rav was saying. You took it completely out of context. You thought that by definition, he's talking about an iser on the b'nei mavoi, and that it's only because of the fact that it was open on the other end that we made it a mavoi mefulash. Nothing to do with that at all. So it turns out that we have two completely different approaches to something based on just this tiny new insight that Rav Sheshes has given us now. So now, the only thing that I would like to know, says the Gemara, is, I mean, you made it into a big machlokas. You never told me what the machlokas was. I mean, I understand that now we've said it's not a machlokas, but what did you think exactly? What were the factors that we were taking into consideration when we thought that Rav would have disagreed with Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda was only going Aliba de Shmuel? So Lamai de Solak Adai to me, Carl, look, the way that you explained it to me, and that would be that Rav Yehuda, meaning Shmuel, the way you understood it, and Rav are arguing, assuming that they are, we ended up saying they're not, but you thought they were, okay. So then they were arguing whether there was an Erev or whether it wasn't an Erev, right? So there were two separate arguments over here. So what were they arguing about in the case where there was an Erev between the people in the Chatzar and the people in the Mavoi? And what were they arguing b'shelo Erevu, b'may plige? What were the machlokas in here? That is our exciting topic for tomorrow, to try to figure out what would be the issues in the interrelationship of these Rishuyot. So as you can see, in a mere week, we've gotten into some very, very complex interrelationships between various types of Rishuyot and things that once seemed to be pretty easy to separate are now getting more and more complex based on our deeper understanding of the nature of a Pesach, of the nature of a penetration of another Rishus, of the definition of the specific types of Rishus, of the ease with which one passes from one into another, in whether something is considered to be diurin, as indigenous diurin, or basically an invasive species. Somebody is usually dressed pretty weirdly and so on. But anyway, those are the invasive species. And all of these things are going to have to juggle around with a bunch of new factors that we'll continue to add just to make things exciting. And meanwhile, we got a beautiful insight into the story of the idea of how much attention we're going to pay to the consistency of shitas, chumras, kulas, and loba shamayimi.